Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So before we get started, please everyone bestow blessings. It's always nervous to give class, but especially when you have a sannyasi, a sannyas candidate, a PhD candidate, and then all these devotees here, it's like just as bad as giving in Vrindavan for me. So please be merciful, very merciful to me. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 31, text 14. Yeah, okay.
Yata taro mura nishe chanena. Tribyanti tat skanda bujo, bujo pasaka. Pranopacharak chat yatain, yatain driyanam.
Oh, good, bless.
Tataiva sarahanam achutaija. Yata, as, taro, of a tree, mura, the root, nashechanena, by watering, tripyanti, are satisfied, tat, its, skanda, trunk, buja, branches, Upasaka and twigs. Prana, the life air. Upaharat, by feeding. Cha, and. Yata, as. Indriyanam, of the senses. Tataiva, similarly. Sarva, of all demigods. Aharnam, worship. Achyuta, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Idya, worship. Translation. As pouring water on the root of a tree energizes the trunk, branches, twigs, and everything else, and as supplying food to the stomach enlivens the senses and limbs of the body. Similarly, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service automatically satisfies the demigods who are parts of that Supreme Personality. Purport. Sometimes people ask why this Krishna consciousness movement simply advocates worship of Krishna to the exclusion of the demigods. The answer is given in this verse. The example of pouring water on the root of a tree is very appropriate. In the Bhagavad Gita 15.1, it says, Udvav mulam adha sakam. This cosmic manifestation has expanded downward, and the root is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham Savarsha Pavava, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Krishna is the root of everything. Therefore, rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Seva, means automatically serving all the demigods. Sometimes it is argued that karma and jnana required a mixture of bhakti in order to be successfully executed. And sometimes it is argued that bhakti also requires karma and jnana for its successful termination. The fact is, however, that although karma and jnana cannot be successful without bhakti, bhakti does not require the help of karma and jnana. Actually, as described by Rupa Goswami, pure devotional service should not be contaminated by the touch of karma and jnana. Modern society is involved in various type of philanthropic works, humanitarian works, and so on. But people do not know that these activities will never be successful unless Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is brought into the center. One may ask, what harm there is in worshiping Krishna in the different parts of his body, the demigods? And the answer is also given in this verse. The point is that by supplying food to the stomach, the indriyas, the senses are automatically satisfied. If one tries to feed his eyes or ears independently, the result is only havoc. Simply by supplying food to the stomach, we satisfy all of the senses. It is neither necessary nor feasible to render separate service to the individual senses. The conclusion is that by serving Krishna, Krishna Seva, everything is complete. As confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 2262, Krishna Bhakti Kaili Sarva Karma Krita Haya. If one is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is automatically accomplished. Nice. Om Gyane Tira Namna Shakyanandana Sarakavya Takshu Unmitam Yana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Pistam Stapitanya Nabhutare Swayam Rupa Kadamayana Tati Swapatantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Venda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It's a nice verse. Well, every verse in the Bhagavatam is nice. I don't think we can actually come across a possibly bad verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam because it's always talking about Krishna. Everything is glory. Every verse, every word, every letter is glorifying Krishna, right? Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Paraham Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha. He's the cause of everything, but nothing is the cause of him, right? So in this verse, we're talking about the demigod and demigod worship. And that, what's the harm? Well, the harm is that the demigods only give temporary relief. They can only give it temporarily, right? And actually, it's described in a Brihad Bhagavatamrita in one of the commentaries in second volume, fourth chapter, verse 144, that the mean to attain Vaikuntha is pure exclusive love for the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, right? That demigod worshippers are never eligible to become residents of the Vaikuntha planet, right? Those that worship the demigods are mostly after material enjoyment. We see this with Hiranyakashipu. You know, he wanted to become invincible when nobody could defeat him. He wanted to just be the Supreme Lord. And look what happened. Brahma said, I can't give you, never dying, no death. I can't do this. It's not even possible for me. What I can't, you know. So the thing is that we have to understand is that our only desire should be for the devotees is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is our only wish in life, our only joy in life. I remember once I was distributing books in Mauritius, and I was going door to door, and if you've never been to Mauritius, it's quite the Hindi scene, you know. It's wherever you go, there's a Shiva temple or a Durga temple, and in the middle of the fields there's Shiva. And then, so we were going door to door on Sankirtan, and we knocked on one woman's door and a family, and they invited us in, and they said, "Oh, please come take darshan of our altar." And there was so many deities on the altar, right? I mean, from top to bottom, it was completely stacked. The deities were sitting in each other's laps. That's how many deities were on the altar. And I said, "Well, who do you start with?" She's like, "I don't know. I just kind of just do everyone at once because it's so many. I don't know who to start, but I don't know who to finish with." And so confusing, so confusing. But for us, it's very simple. We just worship Krishna, right? We just worship Krishna because we know that the demigods are actually pleased when we're worshiping the Supreme Lord. If you think about it, the demigods are actually they wish they can come to this planet and they can engage themselves in the Sankirtan mission. Right? That's the benefit we have that they don't have. That we can come here and we can engage and give people Krishna consciousness. Right? This is what we have one up on them. Other than that, you know, they are definitely have the better position. But for us, this is what the devotee wants. The devotee wants to give people Krishna consciousness. The devotee wants to purify the world, and he wants to deliver everyone he comes in contact with, seeing as tomorrow is Gaur Punim, that I think it's quite fitting and quite appropriate that we discuss, you know, how, as this last part of this purport says, if one engaged in devotional service to the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is automatically accomplished, right? With faith and with determination and emphasis, that we just have to engage in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? We don't have to do all these other things. We don't have to sit there and do Katyani Vrat and do all these. All we have to do is just do the
Katyayani Vrat. I did it 1 year just to see how it was. It was just to see, and it was. I would never eat that porridge again. It was completely horrible. I mean, it's, oh, Krishna. But we don't have to do any of this. All we have to do is engage ourselves in the Yuga Dharma, right? Chanting the holy name, right? Chanting the holy name, giving people Krishna consciousness, right? And if for that, if we do that, then immediately all the demigods will bestow benedictions upon us. Because this is what really pleases them. Like Lord Shiva, his devotee, you know, his Shivites, they worship him. But if you see, he gets more pleasure out of seeing Krishna being worshipped. Right? So you look into Brihad Bhagavatamrita, how Lord Shiva, he said he's the greatest devotee of the Lord. And he says, no, I'm very fallen. Krishna smashes me all the time. And if we see time and time again, the demigods, they get smashed by Krishna, you know, in one way or another. Brahma was smashed when he tried to steal the cowherd boys. You know, Indra was smashed when he tried to flood out Vrindavan, and Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill with his pinky finger and just said, "Pah, I can do this, no problem." Right? Everyone is dependent on the Supreme Lord. Everyone. Nobody is independent. Just like we read this one pastime about how Lord Brahma thought he was the only Lord Brahma in the universe, and then Krishna called unlimited Lord Brahma's son with 3 heads, 1,000,000 heads, 1,000 heads, and he was just bewildered and put in his place. So this is the attitude that we have to cultivate, not an attitude of disrespect to the demigods, that, oh, you're a demigod. No, but an attitude of respect, because they are great Vaishnavas and they're great servants. Like Lord Shiva is the protector of Vrindavan. You know, he's protects the Braj so that unqualified people don't come. You know, so the idea that I have to worship this demigod or that demigod or every demigod or just to engage ourselves to advance is false. Right? It's false. Completely false. We don't have to do anything like that. We just have to simply serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's it. And it's that easy. Nobody can stop us from serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead but us. Right? I can't stop you. The temple president can't stop you. You know, Yadarani Mataji can't stop you. Nobody can, Bhakta Rick can't stop you. Nothing can stop you except yourself, your mind. Your mind is the only thing that can stop you and say, I can't do this. I can't do this service. I can't engage like this. Oh, Prabhu, oh, you need this picked up. Oh, Prabhu, that's not my service. No, we should take it as an opportunity. Every day is an opportunity for us, right? To grow more and more attachment for the Supreme Lord and more and more detachment for the material energy, right? This is only done by devotional service. It's only done by devotional service. And devotional service is so many things. It's cleaning the temple. Devotional service is being a Vaishnav. It's chanting Hare Krishna. It's reading Bhagavatam is devotional service. You know, serving Vaishnavs, not talking bad about Vaishnavs is devotional service. Everything we do when we connect Krishna in the middle is devotional service. As in this verse, it says that the idea is to have Krishna in the center. But in society, Krishna is not in the center at all. Even in our own lives, how many of us actually have Krishna in the center? Or do we put ourselves in the center and Krishna is, you know, floating around us somewhere? You know, whenever we make time for Krishna, that's good enough. You know, like I chant my 16 rounds and poof, throw the beat bag down and go on Facebook or go on this website or YouTube or this and that. Right. And what are we doing? We're just losing more and more momentum, right? We're a movement. This is a movement. So what is the definition of movement? It means we have to move. Either we go forwards or backwards. If we stayed in one place, then it's a stalemate, you know? It's like, there's no such word. It's a movement, meaning that we can go forwards, we can go backwards, but we always have to move. Right? But sometimes we just don't see it like that. We see it as, I'm comfortable in my position. I'm comfortable in my service. I'm comfortable right now. I don't need to do any more. Because if I do more, poof, then that means more responsibility. That means more, less time I have for myself and more time for Krishna. And we're actually scared of that. This word surrender. such a scary word. What does the word surrender really mean? Right? It means completely ignore anything external. Right? It means to just give yourself 110%. Like we see the gopis in Vrindavan, they were completely surrendered because they didn't care. They didn't care about social customs. They didn't care about anything. They just cared about pleasing the Supreme Lord. And that is why they're the greatest devotees of the Lord. Right? So how can we do it in this? How can we do it? Well, we can do it by grabbing the mercy. As Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, you know, he taught us these dances. He had these really far out dances. One of them was like this, you know. He said it means grabbing the mercy, and this one means pushing Maya away. You know, this is how we have to do it. We have to grab the mercy. The mercy is available for everyone. Prabhupada said, "My mercy is not available for one person. It's available for everyone. It's just some people choose to take advantage of it, and some people don't. That's it. The mercy is there." How do we get the mercy? How do we get that loving glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Right? By giving people Krishna consciousness. I think, for myself, I think this is the most important thing for me, for my own personal Krishna consciousness, is to try and talk to everyone about Krishna. You know, because that's... I can offer all these upacharas to the deities, but, you know, are they going to accept it? Probably not, because of my consciousness, right? I can offer these rasgulla and this sandesh to Gornitai, as I always say, but is that the real offering they want? Do they want the rasgulla, or do they want the new bhakta surrendering? So for me personally in my life, the idea of talking to every single person about Krishna is the number one priority, number one over anything. I try to make it, not that I'm there yet. I don't think I'll ever get there, but at least I'm trying. I can honestly feel in my heart that I'm trying to do something. And the people are suffering. Like, I was distributing books yesterday in Brussels and in the train station. And you just see all these people just... Who's been to Brussels train station? It's like Vaikuntha, isn't it? It's completely dark, and it's like, I mean, isn't it like totally the mode of ignorance? It's completely dark, and I mean, it's just, you know, you're in Belgium once you go to Brussels train station, because it's just, I mean, it looks like something out of Harry Potter. And then you got all the squatters there trying to beg stuff off of you, and they annoy everyone they come in contact with, and it's just dirty, and the floors are nasty, and there's meat stands everywhere, and I saw that yesterday. I whenever I go through Brussels, I always bring a bunch of books with me to distribute in Brussels while I'm waiting my hour and a half for my train connection. And I saw people were just suffering so much, just walking out the trains. And do they walk out like devotees walk out of the temple room, you know? No, they walk out so, you know, melancholy, so like they sucked on a lemon, and their whole face is just like, just totally angry, totally upset, totally disappointed. Totally let down. But then you give them that book, or you give them that piece of prasadam, you give them that Krishna consciousness, right? Immediately, a smile comes on their face. Immediately. Okay, 90% of the time, you know? But immediately, they benefit. Immediately, you're helping them. Like, why do these people look out the windows? They look out the windows because they're waiting for the day that Shishi Gornitai come and knock on the door and say, please, Jiva Jayo, wake up. Wake up, come, join the Sankirtan movement. Get involved in chanting Hare Krishna. This is, the world is suffering, and we have the greatest gift. Like it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Sri Chaitanya is fully independent, and he can distribute pure love of God to anyone, right? Anyone, regardless of qualification, regardless of circumstance. He can give it. We have to yearn for that. We have to yearn for that feeling. Prabodhananda Saraswati says in Chaitanya Chandamrita, he says, cheater, cheater, cheater. Right? Gaurahari, he's paraphrasing a little bit, Gaurahari has come and distributed the nectar of Krishna Prem, right? And I've yet to taste it, even take a taste of it. Right? We have to yearn to taste that. What the acharyas are tasting, yearning to taste what Prabhupada is given. Right? There's more than what Prabhupada is given, more than just words on a page. Right? He's given an alternative to suffering. Like one time, Prabhupada was in India, and there was a magician doing all these magic tricks, you know, like making quarters and stuff appear and all these different things. And Prabhupada just tolerated it, and Prabhupada said, "Oh, you made so much disappear and appear, but can you make birth and death disappear?" And he said, "No, no, no, I can't." And Prabhupada said, "But I can." Right? Prabhupada can, he can make all of this, he can make all of this disappear. All this suffering in the material world is not the material world anymore. It's now Goloka Vrindavan. Right? We come in this temple, and this is our shelter. This is our father's house. You know? And when you're in the father's house, you're protected. Right? But like any good son, you know, he wants to bring, that's very proud of his father, right? He wants to bring more and more people to meet his father. And I noticed this, we had, once in the military, we had bring your kid to work day, right? I thought it was really weird, you know, like bringing a bunch of little kids to like come to learn how to shoot guns. It was really strange. But then the kids were so excited, you know, that they saw what their fathers were doing. Then they would, you know, they would bring so many friends like to meet their parents. And this is the same thing for us. Right? Krishna's given us all of this. We're not sitting in a bhajan kutir in the side of Govardhan. We're not in Navadvip. We're not in Mayapur. We're here in the Benelux. In an area that's, each area seems to have its own problems and its own, you know, idea. You go to The Hague and it's like, you know, demigod loka. Every, you know, you go and talk to people and all the people from Suriname and they have their own ideas. And you go to Amsterdam and and that's all I can say about Amsterdam. You know, I distribute every day on the street there and it's such a hellish place. Right? But easily, Prabhupada is the general in Lord Chaitanya's army, and all of us are little foot soldiers, and easily we can take all this over. Right? Where you can get rid of all these demonic influences. Right? Get rid of the demigod worshipping, get rid of the worshipping of substance abuse, get rid of the worshipping of the body in the form of prostitution and all these other things. And get rid of just thinking you're a god. And getting rid of all of this. And this is how we can win the glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not that we're qualified at all, not even in a little bit. Right? But Jai Shishirada Gopinath Ki Jai. Look how beautiful Radha Gopinath are, right? Look how beautiful they are. Like, how could we not share them with others? You know, how could we not bring people here? How could we not, you know, cut the temporary material enjoyment? You know, because that's all it is temporary. They just enjoy for a little bit. And then after that, you know, the other day, I was chanting japa in my flat, and I live in downtown Amsterdam, and there were people outside partying, you know, drinking and doing the whole thing. And then I said, anyway, put my earphones on and sat in a little room and chanted. And then when I went out for my morning walk, I saw the same guy passed out in his vomit on the ground, you know? And I was thinking, this is the temporary, like, enjoyment that people are after in the material world. Right? So, yeah. Today's a wonderful day. Because tomorrow is Guru Puni, and tomorrow is Harinam and book distribution, and tonight Maharaj is going to give us an ecstatic seminar about the old days of ISKCON, you know, via Austin, Texas, and Buffalo, and everywhere else Maharaj has been, and this is not by chance. This is directly from the mercy of Prabhupada. You see, Prabhupada wants us to become more and more attached. Prabhupada wants us to stop thinking we're going to enjoy. And He arranges everything for us. Now, are we going to take the opportunity? Are we going to take it and seize it? You know, as we used to say in the military, when I went to special forces selection, we'd say it pays to be a winner, because if you lost, you know, we'd have to do these like telephone poles. We'd cut them down, and we'd have to carry them, like four of us, running like, you know, 20 kilometers, or sometimes doing, you know, 100, you know, lifting it up 100 times over our head. And then we came up with the saying, it pays to be a winner, because you don't have to suffer anymore. You know, if you come in first, it pays to be a winner. Pays to be a winner, meaning winning something. If you won something, that means you didn't have to do 200. You only did 100, and you can sit down and rest for a little bit. Same way, it pays to be a winner in Krishna consciousness. It pays to go and give that extra endeavor. It pays to give that, chant that extra round, to read that extra sloka, to attend that extra RT, to develop that extra sweet relationship with the devotee. It pays. Because with each time you're doing this, the suffering is becoming minimal. More and more, we're becoming purified. And that's what we want, to become purified. We're not interested in going back to Godhead. Even though Dhanavir Maharaj once told me, he said, if I go back, I'm never coming back again, you know? Like, sorry, that's it. Once I go back, I never hope I have to come here again to do anything. But we're not interested. We're not interested in liberation. The devotee is not interested in any of these things. Why? Because mukti takes shelter under the lotus feet of bhakti. Bhakti is complete. It's not dependent on anything. You don't have to be a pundit. You don't have to be in any... You can be in any ashram. You can be in any color, any caste, any external situation, and you could still practice Krishna consciousness. Nothing is easy. As we say in America, we say something good is not cheap, and something cheap is not good. Right? What we have, it's not cheap. It's not just simply come here, chant one round, and that's it, you're a pure devotee, even though we do have devotees with PDS, pure devotee syndrome. You know, I'm very good at having that. You know, when I first joined, I thought I was Krishna's gift to ISKCON, but quickly I was smashed by Bhakti Bhushana Maharaj and in a very heavy way. Anyway, this is what it is. It is what it is. Like Vaisheshika Prabhu always says, where attention goes, where energy goes, or where attention goes, energy flows. If our attention is to Krishna, our energy goes to Krishna. If our intention is to material enjoyment, then our energy goes to material enjoyment. Right? That's how it works. That's not based on karma and jnana. It's not based on worshipping the demigods. It's just based on our heart. Like Radhanath Maharaj always says, we're a heart-giving movement. Right? We give our hearts. Our Krishna consciousness is not in our brain, it's in our hearts. And sometimes our stomach, because we're always... I mean, prasadam is the one temple program that's fully 100% always, you know, always attended. Prabhupada set up this movement just for this reason. To constantly keep us engaged. To constantly give us a means to advance and actually become a human being. Right? Because right now we're even below monkeys. I would say monkeys are more advanced than us because monkeys don't know any better. We know better, but still we choose to act the way we act. It's only available here. It's only available from reading sastra, from engaging in service, you know, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Priyojana Janayati Suvairagyam Gyanacharya Dahituram. That as soon as you engage in devotional service, immediately causeless knowledge and detachment from the material world is there. Then how can we don't experience it? Because we don't give ourselves to our service. All of this is true. You know, as soon as one engages in devotional service, one is given causeless knowledge and detachment from the material world. Then how come I'm suffering then? Well, because we haven't given ourselves to our service. We haven't put our faith that Krishna can do this. Like I always say, Krishna can lift Govinda. We believe fully, 100% we believe that Krishna can lift Govardhan Hill with his pinky finger. We don't question that at all. Right? Nobody questions that. We don't question that he delivered Jagaya Marai. Don't question that at all. We don't even question, right, that he took the form of a boar. we don't question, right? We don't question any of the incarnations. We don't question any of the leelas, right? But we question whether he can lift our heart out of the material suffering. That we question. It's true. You talk with a devotee, do you have any doubts about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being Krishna? No, Prabhu! I don't have any doubts, not at all. What are you talking about? But what do you feel about Krishna helping you? Oh, I think there's no hope for it. I think it'll never happen. Oh, it'll never happen in this world. He can't do it. I don't think anybody can do it. Right? Faith. Madhurya Kandambini says that faith is synonymous with bhakti. And as they grow together. Meaning as we get more faith, we get more shraddha. Because right now we hardly have shraddha. It's like, I mean, Kanishtha's even giving us a lot. You know, most of us, a majority of the world is not even Kanishtha's. I don't even think they qualify for that yet. Because Kanishtha means shraddha, you have some faith. And we don't really have so much faith. But as we perform service, that faith grows and that faith develops. And just as I said, it's a bhakti lata bij. It's a seed. And the seed is watered and the seed is grown and the seed fructifies into a beautiful plant. You know? Krishna is there. We're all pure devotees. We're all pure devotees. Right? We just have to come to that level. We all have the... capacity to become pure devotees. It's just that some will get the opportunities and some won't. Some will take advantage. You know, we see, even in today's movement, you see so many people advancing at such a fast rate. You know, young, quite relatively, you know, young people in excel positions of leadership in our movement, right? And then you see others that are, you know, they're just happy, you know, coming on Sunday and putting some money in a hundi box and going about their days, you know? So it's an individual process and it's an individual path. But the more you take the path and place it in the heart, the faster you become purified, the faster you grow attachment. If you just take it as Frank Sinatra said, take it easy, baby, take it how it comes. You know, as he always said, I'll do it my way. He had a very famous song he sang. Then we'll never advance. Then we'll always just suffer. And then we'll wonder why we're suffering. We'll sit there in devotees and we'll say to each other, Prabhu, why am I suffering so much? And then you'll see chanting japa and text messaging and reading Bhagavatam or reading, you know, GQ magazine, not even reading Bhagavatam, you know, and, oh, yeah, the newest fashions. And then we wonder why we're suffering as devotees. Right? Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, if we're not having fun in devotional service, we're in Maya. I said that in a lecture, and I think it's true. If we're not taking the process seriously, then we'll never taste the service we're doing. It'll just be nothing more than a job. A name on the schedule. Right? A name on the schedule, that's it. It'll never be more than just something I have to do to get some food in my belly and a place to live. But do we want more than that? Right? Should we just simply be satisfied with having a place over our head, which is a very nice place? And very opulent prasadam, or should we be wanting more? Is there more to Krishna consciousness than just a nice place to live and a nice shower? Is there more? We all have to ask each other, is there more than just that? So, I think I'll stop here. I think tomorrow is the start of the Gaudiya Vaishnava New Year. So let's just start the new year off right. Right, with a renewed attitude of going deeper, becoming devotees of substance. not just Hare Krishnas, but devotees of substance. Right? In America, there's a huge debate right now that people feel that our movement depends on changing so much. There are some people that feel that our movement, it will never be accepted as long as we dress like this, as long as we wear tilak, as long as we go on the altar and we're wearing traditional cloth, it will never advance, that will never be accepted. There are people that feel this within the movement, and to that, my response is, no, it's based on purity. Prabhupada said purity is the force. No matter what we wear, no matter what we look like, no matter how we dance in kirtan, and some people dance a little bit, a little bit out of it. And it's just based on what's in our heart, not what color cloth we're wearing. Right? You see how the world, so much on bodily designations. But if we're truthful with our service, if we're truthful to Krishna, if we're chanting and trying to dive deeper into the process, then whoever we meet, we can touch their souls. We can touch them. And we can wake them up. Just by one piece of prasadam, by one book, by chanting the holy name, we can touch them. This is dependent on purity, not on anything else. And that's what we have to understand. But this is what it means to be a Vaishnav, to become pure in our actions and in our activities. So I think I'll stop here. Forgive me for no super philosophical class, but I just don't do those so much. He said that you're in Maya. Yeah, because devotional service is supposed to be joyfully performed, Rupa Goswami says. Right? It's supposed to be joyful. It's not supposed to be like, oh, I got to do art. Imagine if you saw the pujari on the altar like this. It's supposed to be joyful. Why is it joyful? Because you're doing it for Krishna. If you're doing it for yourself, then you do things and you don't like it. Like when I have to wash the dishes at home. I hate it. I hate it with a passion, but I don't have fun doing it. I'm not like, oh, Hari Bol. I'm like, oh, I'm the hottest, But offering service to the deity, to the other Vaishnavas and stuff like that, yeah, it's supposed to be joyfully performed. And we have to be intensely greedy for it. Intensely greedy. Greed. Lola, greed. We have to be greedy. Yes? Oh, was it? Hare Krishna. No, it's a process. Meaning, some take shorter, some take longer. I was really mental the other day. I was talking to Vaisheshika Prabhu on the telephone, him and his wife. And I was thinking, because of all the trauma I've seen in my life and all the dead people I've seen and getting shot and all these other things. And I was thinking, I've experienced nothing but hardship. And then he told me to shut up. He said, shut up. And I was like, huh? And he's like, shut up, He said, there's a difference between you and everyone else. Krishna has a direct hand in what you're doing. because you're a Vaishnav. Right? So Krishna has a direct hand in whatever we're doing, so he can give us what we lack in a second. And for that, we should have faith in it, that faith that much in him, that he can give that. Yes, Gopal Hari Prabhu? I mean, how do we keep from being overwhelmed? It's because we don't read and chant enough. I mean, the average devotee doesn't read 1 hour a day of Prabhupada's books. And the average devotee, probably some devotees, you know, don't even read it on a daily basis. I mean, Vanipedia has this whole thing about how many ways to read Prabhupada's books, and one of them is daily, and another one is an hour a day. And so the point is that If we constantly reading, constantly chanting, constantly engaging more than just the surface, you know, in an internal worship, like an internal engagement, meaning feeding the soul with Krishna consciousness, then we don't become shaken by these things. We come to see him. Well, this is Krishna. This is Krishna's hands behind all this. This is all karma. This is all, you know, yeah. I could sit in Radha Kund and become a Bhajananandi, but. You know, but this is not what our mood is. You know, Bhakti Sananta Sarasvati Thakur said the best bhajananandi is one who preaches. You know, so how to keep from getting these things is to constantly look for inspiration. And you can't get that from the material enjoyment. You can only get inspiration. Yeah. Oh, I'm get smashed now. But I mean, that's as far as my personal, you know, realization that. If we just surround ourselves with material energy, then of course we're going to go under the modes of material nature. But if we surround ourselves with spiritual energy, you know, listening to, you know, then we're protected. Then we don't see it. Of course, we don't want to. The idea of I'm going to sit and when I become pure, then I'll go out and save people. I mean, from preaching is actually where we get realizations and we get it, you know, these type of things from explaining people to Krishna. From just sitting there, yeah, we make some advancement and we make advancement, but we have to look at what the mood is of our line. Is it just, you know, sit somewhere and chant and become a pure devotee and then go out, or is it just going out? Yes, Maharaj, be gentle, please. Be gentle. Be gentle. We can't check Krishna. I'm sorry, Maharaj. And I remember 9/11 when that happened. That started off like a whole, like, I mean, so many people became open to Krishna to Krishna consciousness after that, because such a huge thing in America. Even now, I don't know how many years later, they still talk about it. It's still like, you bring it up and it's like, oh, don't bring up 9/11, you know, it affects my heart. You know, I have a heart condition. Sometimes we find in these areas, you know, like in Santiago, Chile, I was talking to them after they had their earthquake. You know, they said more and more people started coming around because, you know, people saw, like, this is, wow, so much suffering. So, yeah, I mean, it's not always bad. Like Maharaj said, yeah, it's only because of our eyes we saw it all. They don't deserve that, or actually, we all deserve much worse than what we get. So, yeah. Yeah, I grew up in like the ghetto in New York, in New York City, and that was one of the things that attracted me, was that, you know, around me there was nothing. You know, I'd walk out to go to school in the morning, there were heroin needles everywhere on the floor, and like people just, like, where I lived, it was like, you know, one of the top murder areas in all of the states, and just seeing all these people around me dying, and for me it was a healthy alternative to come to the Hare Krishna movement, because, you know, it was like it was some ray of sunshine in a dark world that I grew up around. So yes, Manohar Prabhu, you guys. Yeah, I know, that's what I said too when I had this discussion with this person. But it all comes down to, like, really, we can't compromise. Prabhupada was non-compromising. Of course, there's time, place, and circumstance for dress and stuff like that. You know, like when I was in Dubai, I didn't come flying in a dhoti, and when Madhava Maharaj goes, he doesn't like have his danda full out, you know. Time, place, and circumstance for some things, but the basis is there, and we shouldn't take away from the basis. But some people, again, it's people see it as an external thing. That Krishna consciousness is external; it's dependent on our appearance, not actually on what's inside of us. That's if we have the appearance, then of course everyone will accept. Once you look like you have a business suit on, giving class in the temple for Bhagavatam class, you know, this is, everyone will accept this. You know, people won't accept, you know, sitting in on the floor, people won't accept. But there are some things, you know, like in New York City, on the Sunday feasts, they were using spoons. Like all the brahmacharis had to use spoons, which really confused them. And they were like, they weren't used to it. They were like, what's this thing, you know? And because people were a little bit weirded out about the whole using your hands for everything, even eating soup, you know, like. So some things, yeah, you can kind of accord, but some, the basis, you know, like, I can't picture Manohar Prabhu up there on the altar in like short shorts and in a tank top worshiping the deities. It just, some things have to stay. You know, some things have to stay. I pray they stay. So I guess we'll stop here because it's almost 9 and I don't want the tour program to beat me up or anything. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It's Noi. Is it for you, Noi?